The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Tuesday, October 7th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. Before I start, I want to extend birthday greetings to my sister, Pansy. Her birthday is today. She's umpteen years older than I am, so she's a big woman. I also want to extend birthday wishes to my childhood friend, Linda Edmund. She's 50. She's an old woman now. My God. I remember when she was young, but 50 years old. My God. I just want to say happy birthday to them. Today, I'm embattled because I want to know if I should talk Junkanoo. But I've been talking Junkanoo for weeks, man. Someone inboxed me and said, "You're the only one who is dissecting what is happening to Junkanoo." And I said, "No, I'm trying to be as fair as I can, you know, because we as Bahamians tend to show our biasness. And I'm trying to enlightened Bahamians about Junkanoo, the Junkanoo fiasco. It's just show up, you know, but I try to pull that back and say, no. Let's just talk facts and analyze the facts. Now, when I analyze the facts, if it come out against you, that it is what it is. By just analyzing the facts, right? But I also want to talk about the headline, Bahamas, Philippines finalize agreement on movement of labor. I can read that again. Bahamas, Philippines finalize agreement on the movement of labor. Reason why I want to start off with that, because if you want to talk about Junkanoo, you have to text me and say, "Nuri, talk about Junkanoo," because the JCNP wrote a 6-page letter to the government, or the Ministry of Culture, actually. One or two threats inside it, one or two enlightenment on this is where they stand, one or two pleading, please reconsider in that letter, right? If you want me to have Aaron read that entire thing, we could do that. But if I do that, we got to dissect it. But for that, you need to text in and say, "Nuri, do that." Because the theme today is about this movement of labor, right? Because the other day, yesterday, in fact, I was going back and forth with Aaron and said, no, we don't want Mia Motley's freedom of movement of Caribbean people. That's not in the Bahamas because we have a duty of care to protect the industries of the Bahamas for Bahamians. Now, when there is a shortage of labor, you could come here and assist us to build our country, but you just can't come here and say we plan to compete with Bahamians and within 24 hours. You see, Ministry of Foreign Affairs saying in movement of freedom of movement for a particular group. And I'm saying, what jobs are they coming here for that we need to sign an agreement for? Because, and I got to call the group, you know, Filipinos. I like Filipinos. They're beautiful people. So I'm not attacking them. I'm talking about this agreement, right? Because I remember when the ambassador for the Philippines, they had one other country, threatened to sue the Bahamas before, saying you're all trying to stop Filipinos from coming to the Bahamas to work. And we said, no. Right now, we have a high, unemployment now. So we have a stop on various jobs until Bahamians catch up. And they sue. They say, the hell with the Bahamas and their jobs. We need Filipinos to come to work. That's some time ago. But now I'm seeing this agreement and I'm trying to say, what jobs are they talking about? We have a job shortage of a lot of technical jobs in the hospital. If it's that, man, when it's vacancy, we put an advertisement in and they could come. We don't need an agreement for that. But I see Filipinos on the farms. I see Filipinos. Where let's go and buy my peppers from? That place in Fox Hill. You go to a place in Fox Hill, there, that prison. All the workers are Filipinos. I say, where the Haitians gone? I told Haitians to do this job. They have Filipino workers now replacing the Haitians. Like one set of group. First was Bahamians. There was Haitians. Now they have Filipinos.
Right near the
prison. You just go, there's one right near the prison. You see all the workers is Filipino. And I say, wait, if Bahamians can't get a job, I know we have plenty of Haitians with documents who want this job. And I'm watching Filipino packing boys. I watch him, and you say, you think I jest when I say Filipino packing boys? I'm talking sense.
Okay.
Go ahead. See, I'm picking on them alone.
No, I know, but I just want to make this sort of distinction, right? Because we have people who, see, we don't know the different ethnic groups in the Philippines, right? We just know
the Filipinos.
That's the nationality. No, see, that's nationality.
You think they have behemoth-looking Filipinos?
There are people who are Bahamian citizens that descend, right? That immigrated from the
Bahamians.
Philippines. But they are Bahamians, nationality.
And who speak Filipino?
No, these are people of Philippine descent.
No, I ain't talking about the people of Filipino descent. See, I see y'all trying to manipulate. It's like this. If we have Haitian Bahamians or Haitians who have become citizens of the Bahamas, they Bahamians. I ain't gonna never call them Haitians.
Right, but this is what I'm saying.
I ain't talking about the Filipinos who have become Bahamians. I talk about Filipinos.
No, what I'm saying is, how do you know?
They nosy.
I mean, okay.
You don't think I was going to ask?
I mean, that is definitely
an anecdote.
That's an anecdotal marker. You say you nosy.
You know I going to ask, right?
But did you ask like the boy on the video yesterday in town?
I already got nobody.
No, I didn't ask. I said, did you ask like the boy?
How did the boy ask on the video?
He didn't. He was like, you see them people there?
No, let's go next. What? How come you have no Haitian labor here? Where do these Filipinos come from? You think I ain't going to ask them that?
But didn't the person tell you? What did the person tell you?
They Filipinos, they Bahamians, they belong here.
I said, that's what the person told you, right?
And I said, no Bahamians or Haitians could get that job. We ain't want them.
He didn't say that, but they are Bahamians?
They said they have status. That's what his response.
Because citizenship could be status. I just said status.
I'm just saying, we can have some problems in the future when they want to be packing boys. See, let me start off.
Hold on.
We can do it, we have time.
Okay.
Once upon a time, I can call Solomon's. Not because I disparage your name.
Which number you use? Because the other number I can't get in.
No, they don't answer. I can call the name.
Oh, okay.
I can call Solomon's. Because Solomon's is a higher special needs people. I'm not sure if you ever noticed.
Absolutely. They created employment opportunities for people with either intellectual disabilities or other
special
impairments.
Needs.
Yeah.
It's cost, right? It's pride. You know, when you're proud, it's like, boy, I don't know if I could do that, but I'm proud that this agency is doing that. Also, Super Value, I can call their names. They used to hire Bahamians, black, white Bahamians, to be packing boys. That's their civic duty. They do these things.
Technically not hire, because to hire somebody, you have to pay them and give them benefits, but they accept.
Yes.
They make space for,
yes,
without a doubt.
Of late. Now, I'm moving away from those names I call.
Yeah.
I've noticed these food store entities have a number of, let me put it, people with status who speaks Creole. See, status. I didn't say were they Bahamian or not. They have status.
Haitian Creole, though.
I don't know what they speak.
Because there are other types of Creole. Like, just saying, let's make sure.
I don't speak Creole, so I don't know if it's Haitian Creole or Jamaican Creole or it's Bermuda Creole, but they do. They speak in Creole. And I'm saying, wait, I thought these jobs were reserved for Bahamians, right? I want the packing boy to make some money.
Let me ask you a quick question.
Go ahead.
The barber service. Barbers.
Yeah.
Is that a sector reserved for Bahamians?
I would assume, but my barber is Haitian. I haven't seen a Bahamian barber in decades.
I saw this beautiful video.
Yeah.
Wonderfully put together.
The Jamaican one?
The professional. See, I'm mad.
The Jamaican one.
Yeah, he professional. The space looked nice. But I'm wondering, can you get a work permit?
To be a barber?
To be a barber.
Clearly so. And we have a whole school to teach barbering, you know. So I'm not sure if they're getting the jobs. But let's just move from there. Let's go read this article now. Mm-hmm. All that preamble. Call, I'm going to come to you now. So call you, I hope you're ready. But you get the article ready? You get this article ready, because it looks like we have freedom of movement over a particular set of people. Not people.
Sometimes I just be talking off the top of my head, you know, to find out.
And see, it's a particular set of people. Do we have one for the Jamaicans to come in? Or the Bermudans to come in? Do we have any kind of special grouping? I know the Haitian. Anyway, let's go to the call of mine. I just find it odd that you choose an ethnic group, a country, to say we can have an agreement with Joel when all of Bermuda won't come here.
Okay, now, see, pause. Here's what the problem is. If it was immediately after the tragic tsunami, Mm-hmm. Was that in the Philippines? Remember, I think...
Yeah, that's what decades ago, though.
But this is what the point I'm making is, if you had told me after that tragic event... Because remember when the... I think it was... Is it the Philippine ambassador to the United States of America in America when asked about concerns of...
The Belongo ship thing.
You know, Philippine people in the Bahamas immediately post the environmental disaster. This guy said, oh, the Bahamas is a U.S. territory. Mm-hmm. And so the Philippine people there should be fine, right? That was years ago. Mm-hmm. So if you had told me that you were considering or you are in the process of creating a free trade, a free movement of labor agreement with the Philippines, post that environmental event, I could understand that, but I would also expect it to have a temporary nature, right? Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Let's go to the column and get that article ready.
Yes, sir.
No one's talking about Junkloo, so it looks like we ain't talking about Junkloo today. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM.
Hello.
You're live. Fred, I can hear you.
Fred, some kudos, you know.
I didn't hear anything they say. Salvo.
You need to give Minister Mitchell some kudos.
Minister Mitchell some kudos? Go ahead. Why?
Early in this month, I think it's on the table now. They have the free movement in the Lower Caribbean region.
Yeah, so, Belize, Barbados, Dominica, and Vincent.
Yeah, that's
Vincent,
a done deal. That's ready for it.
Okay, you know, so Fred is kind of getting ahead of the game.
How?
Okay. Government in the Caribbean, you know, it would be a kind of death sentence for our Bahamian friends.
Well, I mean, explain why. Yeah. Also, I can give you some leeway.
And then the difference between the Caribbean, okay, the impacts of an agreement with the Caribbean. Hold on, sir. Why you think it's a problem for the Bahamas to sign a freedom of movement agreement with any country in the Caribbean, and the difference between signing it with a country in the Caribbean and signing it with the Philippines?
Okay. Our perception here is that we have a lifestyle, right? And if the person's down south, if they can go to America, if they can, we are the second choice.
Okay.
Okay? Now, as far as the technical side and labor is concerned, you check our medical culture. Most of the technicians, a huge percentage of the doctors, all the lab folk, x-ray people, all of them come from the Philippines. Okay, now, we haven't educated our people enough to fulfill these, you know, these kind of very basic things, you know? I mean, like, on the parking boy thing, right? 80% of the guys parking in all the food stores are location payments. 80% or more. You know, we have a very fundamental problem in terms of how we address our labor shortage in this country. And if we don't address that, I think 10 years at most, 15 years at most, we're going to see a change. I mean, we already seen the change now, but it's going to be more definite in the years ahead.
Thank you. But another question, why should we be concerned about movement of labor from Caribbean region and not concerned about freedom of or movement of labor from the Philippines? What's the difference in your mind?
Well, I think it's more difficult move, but anytime.
Oh, I know, but you told Nuri that he should give Mr. Mitchell kudos.
Yes.
Is it giving him kudos for finalizing the movement of labor agreement with the Philippines? And why should we celebrate that, but we should denounce any type of freedom of movement of labor?
Instead of having to deal with multiple cultures coming in, we have to deal just with one. Basically, okay?
I appreciate you, caller. Breathe.
Aaron.
No, that requires a moment of silence.
Yeah, but I need you to breathe.
That's okay. I was going to breathe too hard. I needed to keep
Let's
the
read
silence.
The article, because I want to the Bahamian people who haven't seen the article to appreciate what is happening,
mm-hmm.
like what it encompasses. Is it for medical people only? Like I said, if you go to Fox Hill, a lot of Filipinos there, right? Educated Filipinos, they plant in pepper.
Remember when I broke my foot in July, top of the summer? Mm-hmm. Ruined my whole hot girl summer is when you take 3 showers a day, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I sat in a clinic for an hour and 40 minutes and nobody asked. After I told them I wanted x-ray because I think I broke my foot, nobody asked me what my pain level is or mm-hmm. if I wanted to elevate my foot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just say. So here's the article in today's Guardian. The story starts on the front page, but you need the business section to continue reading. Here we go. The Bahamas and the Republic of the Philippines signed a memorandum of agreement on labor cooperation last month. That deals with the movement of labor between the two countries and the protection of workers' rights, a statement from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs explained.
Can you pause there and explain what you mean by between the two countries, what that means?
Well, that's cool. It's like bilateral.
Is there a demand for Bahamians to go to the Philippines to work?
Oh, is it reciprocal is what you mean? Like the movement, is it kind of reciprocal?
Go ahead.
The statement adds that the MOA was signed by Affairs Fred Mitchell and Secretary of the Department of Migrant Workers of the Philippines, Hans Leo Cacdac, at the Philippine Center in New York. So the question that you're asking is, does this agreement create the equal terms opportunities for Bahamians to go to the Philippines and work? According to the MOFA, that's the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, the MOA framework enhances collaboration between the two countries in the areas of labor mobility, workers' rights protection, recruitment, governance, skills development, and mutual best practices in labor administration. Quote, the MOA commits to strengthened cooperation to promote safe, orderly, and fair labor mobility between the two countries, with particular focus on safeguarding migrant workers, improving working conditions, and supporting skills development that matches market needs in both economies.
See?
How many people in the Philippines?
Millions. When we Google the population?
Yeah, but you know what I know they don't have in the Philippines?
What do they have in the Philippines?
Chikchani catchers. You want to come wake with me?
I know the reason why they have no Chikchani catchers.
So you're going to tell the people I've been in there for years waking without a wake permission?
I can tell you
don't
why.
Say it out loud.
I can tell you why they don't have no Chikchani catches in the Philippines.
Because they ain't got no Chikchani.
They don't have no Chikchani. I'm trying to see.
Why you told you that?
Because Chikchani's. Anyway,
I know you wasn't in the Philippines waking without permission. I know you wasn't waking in an unauthorized center.
There are opportunities for Bahamians and that they are regulating all of these things for Bahamians to go there to work. I don't know any Bahamians in Philippines, you know, but I'm not saying that there aren't any opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
But someone owes me a duty of care to explain what the opportunities are so I can say, okay, I see where this is going. And I just don't see where this is going.
I'm almost certain that somebody may have a statutory obligation to tell us before they sign the paper.
They sign it and tell us that they don't plan to tell us nothing. And we're going to accept it. We're going to accept it.
Quote, there we go.
And why they couldn't come to the Bahamas? To sign an agreement.
Oh, he went to the Philippines?
He went to New York. If you're going to New York, Philippines, I might even understand. Empathize. Okay, no problem. The problem is y'all, them, the foreigners, want benefit by coming to the Bahamas to work and you trying to say the income to the Bahamas to say, man, let me see this Bahamas. Has he ever been to the Bahamas? Does he know where Broom Street is? Why are we always making accommodating?
Does he know how to spell Broom Street?
Why are we always accommodating others? I want to see exactly what type of jobs and this training thing.
If I have to pay for you to come here or for me to go there, which one you think I could do?
Especially when it benefits your countrymen. Don't benefit my countrymen. Let's go to the caller and finish reading this article. Because like I said, I'm vexing. This is where you can't start calling people to resign and saying, hey, don't vote for him no more because I want someone who's giving me cake. This is where you start saying things like that to make sure you get their attention. I don't approve. You need to do better. Explain this to me. The person who gave no cake seems to... See? I want her dog. Anyway, let's just go to the caller. Go ahead, caller. I'm breathing in. Guardian Radio AM. This is C.A. Nuri. I'm a little flustered.
Miss Green and yourself.
Good day, sir.
Okay. Yes, sir, I'm just wondering, personally, so when we sign these for free movement of labor, just, I mean, what does that entail? Does it no longer require a permit or a visa or, I mean, just what processes are we eliminating? Why are we making it easier? I just wanted to know. And also, with the Philippines, I'm curious because this nationality of persons have replaced pretty much all of the Mesquite works in the gated community now, you know, the ones that are, you know, grandmothers and those, you know, took care of the household on back in the day. They, you know, we don't, Bahamians are hardly in those gated communities now. They've been all replaced by the Filipinos. And I'm just wondering who pushed for this and what is, you know, what is the ethos behind it, you know, because I know they were complaining for years about being able to bring their help, you know, and then the hassle they were getting and the pushback they were getting from bringing their workers over. So this is just kind of curious here.
Well, let me read for you from this article, Four CARICOM Countries to Launch Full Free Movement. This was in the Belize media. In fact, this is the Belizean government, the government of Belize's publication. It says, right. Barbados, Belize, Dominica, and St. Vincent and the Grenadines will implement full free movement of CARICOM nationals among the four countries effective Wednesday. Now, mind you, our article says movement of labor and not full free movement, right? Bang.
Right.
They say, stay at entry. Nationals of the four participating member states will receive a stamp or digital record of indefinite stay upon arrival. So we can presume that when they come, that there will be a stamp, right?
Right.
Indicating the length of the state, right? As they say, in those states, they'll receive a stamp or a digital record. I imagine the first thing that will happen is upon entry into the country, there will be a stamp or a digital record of the amount of time you are authorized to stay. Okay. They go on to say registration systems have been established to allow for registration of incoming nationals, enabling access to services such as education and healthcare. Let's put a pause there. So we can imagine that there will be a registration system. So you can't just come in and, you know, on a, like with no visa or on a tourist visa, you have to come in as a laborer and you have to be registered. I'm assuming that that's what's going to happen, right?
Now, I was saying you say you can't come as a tourist, but I mean that doesn't. But I'm sure they're not making it more difficult in any other area, but just easing the facilitation in the one area.
Yeah, but go on.
Follow what I'm saying. You said you can't come in as a tourist, but I mean they're here now in their droves. And so it can't be that difficult. They're already here.
Now, early in the conversation, I referenced the tsunami in the Philippines, right? And when the Philippine ambassador to the U.S. or the U.S., I think it was, and responded to a question in the United States as to the status of Philippine migrants in the Bahamas post that environmental disaster, that individual referenced the Bahamas as like a territory, as a part of the U.S. federal system. He made a mistake, right?
Oh, yeah.
He made a mistake. It's possible, though, that some sort of resettlement or displacement agreement was in place where we signed on to accommodate a number of migrants immediately post the storm. That's possible that happened, right? But the question arises, like you say, is this restricted to just the movement of labor, unlike the recent CARICOM decision for full free movement on October 1st between four countries? And what are the terms, right? What are the rules? What is required of these migrants entering the country? And these are reasonable questions.
Yes, yes.
Ms. Green, I only see this really, to be honest with you, the bottom line, as the money people having their way, because this, I know this is something that, you know, benefits them more than anybody else right now.
Well, here's an opportunity for Bahamians, though. Here's an opportunity for Bahamians, right? And it's multi-layered. We, obviously, if we say, and anecdotally people have said on the show right now, we see Philippine laborers, migrants, working predominantly or significantly in the healthcare sector. Why are Bahamians not opening schools to provide or figuring out how to provide this training locally? Why lobbied the government or created an agency or partnered with the HBCU, like partner with the HBCU, that's the Historically Black Colleges and Universities Network, to direct or divert Bahamian students to these training programs in the States?
Yeah.
I appreciate you, Colin.
Thank you.
Okay. I want you to read that article.
Continue reading the
article. Yes, because in the main, I don't think Bahamians are concerned about healthcare, Filipinos healthcare workers. They give them a blight. They are concerned about the other areas we see, because we assume they're in the healthcare area. But now they are permeating the Bahamas to getting gardener jobs, getting housekeeping jobs.
Landscaping.
What the people who fix the elevator? Elevator jobs. What the people who do the spray to kill the rats and the rodents and whatever? They're moving into other areas. But I thought this was Bahamian-oriented. And the people of power...
Or these sectors were restricted or limited to Bahamian citizens only.
Yes. So I want to know the details on which areas will this impact?
Yeah. Which employment sectors are accessible by Philippine migrants?
Yeah, not Bahamians. Like I say, I ain't talking about
Bahamians of Philippine ancestry.
We ain't talking about them.
Yeah. So or descent.
We're talking about Filipinos who are coming into the country to work, to do what? And why we need to sign an agreement. Because if the hospital is short, the hospital doesn't have to go through Minister of Foreign Affairs to say, let's form an agreement.
And if it were climate change related, if it were related to that environmental disaster years ago, surely the Prime Minister would have been on top of it.
Yes. So this is something separate.
Okay, so
someone is demanding that there's more access. No, read the article first. More access to Filipinos. Go ahead.
So we continue reading from the article, The Bahamas, Philippines Finalize Agreement on Movement of Labor, in today's Nassau Guardian. Quote, the MOA commits to strengthen, and I think the MOA is the Memorandum of Agreement, commits to strengthened cooperation to promote safe, orderly, and fair labor mobility between the two countries, with particular focus on safeguarding migrant workers, improving working conditions, and supporting skills development that matches market needs in both economies. Close quotes, the statement explained. The initiative was introduced during diplomatic engagements in March 2023 when Ambassador Jose Manuel G. Romualdez met with former Governor General Cornelius A. Smith. In 2023, the Philippines made it known to the Bahamas that it was interested in entering into a labor agreement to ensure the well-being and protection of Filipino workers in this country. It's the Philippine government that raised the issue.
See? So can we anticipate that Jamaicans will do the same thing? Will Bahamians do the same? Haiti do the same thing?
They could do the same thing. The question is, can we anticipate approval for these other sectors? And can you anticipate my reason why I suggested we won't?
Mm.
Let me go back to the article. In 2023, the Philippines made it known to the Bahamas that it was interested in entering into a labor agreement to ensure the well-being and protection of Filipino workers in this country. A 2023 article in the Manila Times on the matter explained that some 2,000 Filipinos work in the Bahamas in areas such as healthcare, household services, hospitality, accounting, education, and ship repair. So here's my thing. Household services?
Mm-hmm.
First of all,
I don't know how to get access to that.
What is household services?
That's everything inside the house. That's from butlers, that's housekeeping, gardening.
Is that insect repellent? Is that animal control?
All that. If you have a pet and you want someone to walk your dog?
I just need somebody from the Department of Labor to tell me what household services is defined as technically.
I want to know how the people who hire them make it known that there's space and they circumvent Bahamians. It should be a limited group. Like, you can't get a work unemployed waiting for a housekeeping job.
Like, if you say to me,
gardener job.
If you say to me, hey, look, my wife is from the Philippines.
I can appreciate that.
Our children, right, are going to be raised in both cultures.
I can appreciate that.
We want them to experience them equally. We would like to bring a Philippine caretaker in
that.
To ensure that they can have both English and the indigenous language the Filipino people speak as their primary languages.
If you're an expat and your children speak Spanish, I could even say, make a blind say, okay, some Filipinos speak Spanish. Let the Filipino come in. But if it isn't that...
Let's continue reading.
And especially why are we making an exception for a particular grouping of people? No other country?
With no reference to the... See, because if you talked about the environmental disaster that they experienced...
Stop talking about that. Man, that's years ago.
The point is, if you were, then...
They ain't talking about that.
Okay, let's continue with the article, a 2023 article...
Paula, we're coming to you now. Bear with us.
The article also explained that Philippine Ambassador to the U.S., Jose Manuel Romualdez, had... We go to page 3... met with the Prime Minister Davis in Nassau, quote, to discuss issues of mutual concern, such as climate change and disaster mitigation, close quotes. The article further states that Romualdez revealed in a statement that he and Davis discussed a possible memorandum of understanding, that's an MOU, not MOA, an MOU that would add a layer of protection for Filipino workers. What do you mean a layer of protection?
I just got to ask you, would it
like
be
more layers than the other migrant workers have in the country?
And people are not analyzing that, right? They're trying to get, mind you, our government protect all workers.
Now,
straight across the board, all workers are protected by our government.
Let's make this point. Let me make this point right here. Interacting with the Filipino community through the vendor space, like with Food Fest and the various festivals, let me tell you something. There's no group of people, like of all the groups of people you want
Very
in your
organized.
Country, not just organized, just warm and gracious and kind.
That.
Yeah, that's why I want the audience to understand that we're not disparaging this group of people at all. These are beautiful, warm people, man.
And as a rule, behemoths like Filipinos. We like their food because they do Chinese food. Now they displace the Chinese. They do their own Chinese food.
They do their own Asian
they
style
say Chinese
food.
They call it Chinese food. They don't say Filipino food. They say Chinese food. It just happened to be Filipinos. Like that one downtown. You see that one downtown through that corner?
And from its name, grill, you know Bahamians love it.
Yeah. And they say call it Chinese food. They don't say Filipino food.
Because you could.
But the lady there is Filipino.
You could grill it and I can call it Jake, whether it's Jake or not.
Let's go to the caller here. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM.
Yes, good morning to both of you, Sal and Johnson.
Morning.
So let me first say that you have to understand the Philippines actually is an export. It's a labor export. Yes.
Okay.
But not a separate contract with the government.
But not forced to do so through decades of economic hardship.
No. What they have is they basically found a niche in bringing a specialty more so for that team, home services, maids, butlers, that type of services, and medical. So what they've done is they've developed what is called a skills-based part of their economy, so a skills-based economy, where they train and prepare people for such. But the thing I want to speak about is us, right? This is something I've been asking for 20 years, the gap analysis of our labor market, where we are and what is it we need. Every single year, we hear government and other people announcing all of these training programs. No one can tell you what they're training for. No one can tell you what the jobs they're going to be placed with. No one can tell you the skill that is needed for these particular jobs. They say we don't possess certain skills. No one can give you a list of the job definitions and where the skills deficiency are. So it seems as that we are eloquently and good at describing our problem and very weak on actually having a strategy or an actual implementable plan on resolving these things. So unless you have an analysis of where we are and where we need to be, all these different industries we say we have, all the different industries we say we want to start, but no one, what is it you need? You say we want a knowledge-based economy. Can someone tell me exactly what is a knowledge-based economy from a policy position? What is the number of workers we have in it? What is the number of workers we need in it? What is the skill set that will be needed for it? The same thing with the green economy. With the blue economy, the same thing with the orange economy, the same thing with the creative economy. Yes, they say they're one and the same. They're very similar, but they're not the same. And so it's good that we talk about these things. It's good we talk about the deficiencies in our education system, but no one actually has came up with an actual plan. A plan is not a vision or a strategy. A plan brings key performance indicators, exactly what it is, but you must know where you're starting to be able to define a map, where you're going to go and how to get there. So we're going to keep talking, hopefully in 5 years. My 67th birthday, we won't be having this conversation again.
We'll be having
in
it.
The next administration.
And just be more Filipinos here. But thanks very much, C. Allen. Thanks. We finished with the article?
No, C. Allen, when we give him another job, C. Allen, we need to build institutions.
Mm.
You know, like, this is what it is. We have the knowledge. We have access to other systems to understand how things are working, but we missing some of the building blocks and are things like institutions, agencies, mechanisms that hold information, test it, ensure its integrity, and share it with other people so that they can also begin building their programs. But thank you very much for the contribution, C. Allen.
Finish read the article and then we go to the caller afterwards. Caller, I see you. Just bear with us. We can prep it for you.
The article further states that Romualdez revealed in a statement that he and Davis discussed a possible MOU. Yesterday's MOA statement, that's the Memorandum of Agreement, said CACDAC met with the Minister of Labor and the Public Service Pia Glover role in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, in January of this year, furthering the diplomatic relations on labor. Quote, this MOA...
We short labor. Of course we short labor.
I mean, they don't call it a labor shortage for nothing.
Yeah. But people making deals with Pacific... a government, but in and when we have other group anyway, go ahead.
See, because for me, you have to, right? I see. I know you just get BTVI accredited, and you're moving forward on a couple of things. But before you can, see, you could provide a greater layer of protection for migrant workers without creating an MOA with one specific country.
That's how I see it.
Right. And I don't think it's unreasonable to say that you should show me that you have run for at least 10 years in academic program to attract young players, but over the last 10 years, Bahamians refused to take advantage of the program. Yes. And now you're bringing in a specific subset.
It.
But you have not put sufficient effort into creating a local human resource inventory.
It's not even 1 year deep yet. It's a matter of months they make an expanding BTVI. Months, right? We ain't get it right yet. But other people coming and taking jobs. Mm-hmm. It's just odd. Finish read. Oh, the caller gone? Okay, finish read article.
Quote, this MOA reinforces our shared commitment to protecting workers while expanding legitimate labor mobility between our nations, the MOFA statement said. Quote, the Bahamas and the Philippines formally established diplomatic ties in 1976, marking a long-standing history based on mutual respect and cordiality, close quotes, that's friendliness. The MOFA added, quote, the MOA is the seventh bilateral agreement signed this year by the Department of Migrant Workers of the Philippines and the first in the Caribbean and Central America. Let's make another point right here, Mr. Nuri. Call, I see you quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You know the reference earlier in the article when they said the Prime Minister, CACDAC, the leader of the Philippines, quote, to discuss issues of mutual concern such as climate change and disaster mitigation. Mm-hmm. And then you go on to read that this is a seventh agreement of this nature that the Philippines has signed, but the first in the Caribbean and Central America.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Bahamian government, what are you doing to ensure that you can easily resettle Bahamians in other countries, right, where they will be accepted when the same thing that's happening to the Philippines continues to happen to us?
You know, it's the rest of the Caribbean is hanging it. Maybe a reason. Let's go to the caller first before you take it. Probably been calling back and forth. I wonder why the rest of the Caribbean say, man, we not right now.
No, we don't know. Maybe they are, and Mr. Mitchell didn't feel it necessary to mention it.
So this is why we put pause. Let's find out if any other Caribbean doing this. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM.
Hello.
Yes, Ms. Green had mentioned BCVI, but there was a time when we had, you know, the vocational training college, which went a little further than BCVI. There was a time when we had the Dundas Civic Center that was in place to train Bahamians. We also had the tourism college where people attend from all over the world. So Bahamians have to be very careful because it seems to me that we have regressed in that regard, and our government empowering Bahamians. It seems to be going in the other direction now and to disenfranchising Bahamians, you know, because instead of us, instead of them looking to enhance what we, they say, well, let's just fulfill it by bringing in foreigners. That's how it seems to me. You know, it's the same thing with food, food, you know, agriculture. It's cheaper to bring it in.
Uncle,
so, and Bahamians seem to be very much replaceable in that regard.
Uncle, if I had suggested to the Bahamian public, if I were a policymaker and I suggested to the Bahamian public, listen, we're going to put this policy in place, right? The people are going to apply for a work permit, and if we don't complete it, if we don't give them an answer in 15 days, they automatically just going to get the work permit. Mm-hmm. Y'all would have taken me to Rawson Square and you would have beat me.
You say,
Aaron, you think you could just be on the radio cracking jokes and then go into the House of Assembly and do foolishness?
That was for white people, though.
Exactly. Pardon me. That was perhaps the point that I was making, sir. Mm-hmm.
That was for white people.
I said that for white people, too, yes. Like that. Yes, very politely. People, yeah. So yesterday when I said that we already have movement of labor,
I
wasn't talking about the Philippines. I can be honest with you.
You were talking about white people.
I was talking about people, phenotypically white people,
people
of European descent, people who are perceived to be from the north.
White people. You were talking about white people.
Yeah.
Foreigners. Not Conky Joe people.
Yeah.
You're talking about white people.
I know somebody came here. They're doing good work, you know. Like, generally, overall, the project that they were engaged in was an awesome project.
Yeah.
And it had great value and benefit for the Bahamas, you know. But that person was here for years just living.
No work permit,
just working.
Catching
under the, you know,
living their best
table.
Life.
Having a good time. I don't know if it's their best life, but they were having a good time.
You going to England. How do those apartments and houses look?
Small.
And come to the Bahamas and they get an expat spotlight. They, the best life ever.
Like, you see Village Road?
Mm-hmm.
Sidewalk?
Yeah.
Right? They some of the fanciest sidewalks in New Providence, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bahamians don't use them. You know who use them?
Who use them?
Migrants.
Yeah. They, expats do.
You know what they do? They walk from their home to the beach, which is just, you could, right? They get out their front door and they say, hold on, I could smell the ocean from where I'm living.
Mm-hmm.
And they use those sidewalks to walk to the beach.
Let me say this. I welcome foreign labor because we have a shortage. I understand that. I appreciate that. Any kind of specialized skills you could bring to the Bahamas, I will make space. I will encourage the government to make space. However, there seems to be a movement of people who are taking Bahamian jobs. They're not big-time jobs, low-end jobs that Bahamians can do, especially in the climate where the Bahamas government said, oh, we're doing apprenticeship programs now to make sure Bahamians get employed, but we bring in foreigners to have that job. We're doing technical skill program to make sure Bahamians are able to have jobs, but we're bringing in foreigners to take these jobs at the same time.
I think not only is there an ideological issue, right, but there is an operational issue. Understand what is required to mobilize an industry, right? To say, okay, last year, top of this year, the United States told us we can no longer use the Cuban Medical Brigade, right?
Yeah.
It's a formal labor system. But we knew this. We knew that we were going to have issues within the U.S. We knew that eventually this would be pinpointed as an issue that we would have to deal with by the U.S., right?
Yes.
What have we been doing to prepare? And don't tell me that we've been training nurses. That's not what we mean. You're supposed to train nurses all the time.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing to make the salary, the remuneration package, the wages? What are you doing to make working and living in the Bahamas as attractive as it is to go work and live in other countries? And don't say it's impossible because foreigners come from the north here every day, every year. And some of them do. Some of them we accept because they accept us and show us. Like our friend Anne, the teacher who passed away. Rest in peace, Anne.
She's Bahamian, though. Now, I mean, she's
Right, but when she came as a teacher, she was a foreigner, and she said, hey, I love this place, and I love these people, and I fall in love with one of these people, and she make more of these people. We don't have a problem with people who come here to love the place.
We have a couple more minutes.
But I think the issue really is with the government who does not understand what its function is.
And making deals, when you're trying to ask, how does Bahamian benefit, and they don't provide any information on it. It seemed one-sided.
Which is just one element of it, because you're making deals without engaging the Bahamian people.
Don't care.
You're making deals without actually showing the people that you tried an alternate before.
Don't care.
No one cared to explain what's happening. It's just an announcement. You take it or you lump it.
And it's a disservice to the Philippine community in the Bahamas. You're doing them a disservice.
Then in the characterization, they said, we're trying to make sure that the Filipinos' lives are better in terms of... We have a law for that already.
Yeah. And it should apply to everybody.
It should apply for... So I'm concerned whether that law would apply to everybody is inadequate. And that the Philippines getting a special law is inadequate. I am concerned.
And will the authorities who are responsible for enforcing the law have this misconception that some migrants are more important than other migrants?
Animal Farm again. We all equal, but some people are more equal than others.
But one thing you can't tell me is no farms out west.
Yeah, there's farms out west. And Filipinos working in them.
Last text, it seems like the real government of the Bahamas who live behind those gates, I don't know, this text is coming, are dictating their wants. One thing for sure, they don't want any dark-skinned people in their houses. I know plenty Bahamians. I know plenty dark-skinned people who don't want dark-skinned people in their houses. The people could only get away with in your country, would you allow them to get away
when
with
when I get rich like these
country?
Politicians, I want a Filipino maid. Back in the day, I wanted a Cuban maid, but I moved from there. I want a Filipino maid too. And a gardener.
I just want a job where I could afford a maid. I don't know if I can get one.
Yeah.
But to have a job where I could afford a maid.
One of these days.
Life.
But someone making ways to make sure that when I get my money right, I can get my Filipino maid easy.
There you go.
Right? I ain't got to hire no Bahamian no more. It is what it is. This has been Guardian Radio AM. This is C.A. Nuri. Of course, Aaron Green was joining.
Go ahead.
Remember our cousin, Miss Burrows?
Yeah, Miss Burrows.
So I take in the $50. We're going to give it to the Ranfurly home.
Okay. Did you tell people who Miss Burrows is?
One of our listeners, one of our most favorite listeners. Thanks. She's a big fan, and she's a community stakeholder.
Yes.
Her presence, you may not know her, but her presence is felt by many. Every day.
Miss Brown knows
you feel her.
Miss Brown Burrows. Her people are from Bimini originally.
Okay.
I appreciate you.
Absolutely.
Have a wonderful day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com. and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.